Hi, this is Julie.
This is Liz.
This is Sheila.
This is Monica.
This is Leanne.
We are the Satellite Sisters.
You are listening to Satellite Sisters to Go.
You are listening to Satellite Sisters. It's Tuesday, February 10th. I'm Leanne Dolan in Pasadena, California. Welcome to Satellite Sisters. If you're a new listener, I know we have new listeners every week. We're so happy to have you. There are years of podcasts on iTunes and Stitchers and on our website, satellitesisters.com, that may help you figure lots of things out. But for now, I just want to introduce my sister, Julie Dolan-Smith, who is in Dallas, Texas. Hey, Jewel.
Hey, Leanne, you know, I'm feeling lucky today, Leanne, really lucky, because I did two things. I bought a Powerball ticket,
yeah.
And I entered the HGTV Dream Home Contest. So I think that's going to be a powerful combination to get $300 million and the Dream Home on Martha's Vineyard.
Oh, what that's where it is this year, Martha's Vineyard?
You got to get in it, Leanne.
Wow.
You got to get in it to win it.
Well, I know later on you're going to give us a rundown of a great BuzzFeed list on 53 things you've learned from HGTV. So it's very fitting that you were on the site entering the Dream Home Contest today. Also, it's Tuesday, so we have Tuesday trends. Julie has some products. We're going to be forced to talk about 50 Shades of Grey. It will be the only conversation I'm guessing we have about it, but let's just talk about it later. Last week, you know, breaking news, Harper Lee was publishing a novel that's been written, you know, for 60 years and gone unpublished. I had some concerns last week. I think they are well-founded. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. And then, of course, it's Tuesday, so we have our recap of Downton Abbey. We like to call it Downton Gabby. A lot of speculation on the Facebook page, Julie, about plot twists and turns. People have been discussing it, and that's good to see. But first, the snow in Boston. Last week, we sent our condolences to you. This week, we must send them again. I made the mistake, Julie, of saying I miss snow. And, you know, I got it from all the people in New England. But you know what? I miss snow. Okay? There's not a little snow is great. And I don't live there. I'm not ashamed. Every once in a while, I miss snow because I live here in Southern California, where yesterday it was 77 degrees. And sometimes that seems weird to me. That being said, I did totally enjoy swimming yesterday at noon in the pool. But so here's the deal, though, Julie. I heard this stat on Good Morning America this morning that, you know, in the Boston area, they've received 6 feet of snow this winter. You know, a record-breaking, near record-breaking, puts it in the top 10 already of worst winters. And they gave the statistic that the amount of snow in Boston so far this year could have filled the Patriots football stadium 90 times.
Woo, that's a lot of snow, Leanne.
Well, it's a lot of snow, but it just seemed like a nutty statistic that hit me because meanwhile, here in Southern California, where it's nearly 80 degrees, you know what we have going into the Rose Bowl Stadium, which is adjacent to my home in a couple weekends?
Sunbathing contest, Leanne, something like that?
That would be appropriate, but no, we have a ski and snowboarding competition happening there. Thanks to Sean White Productions, in 2 weekends, they are going to have like Olympic and world famous extreme snowboarders and skiers doing the jumps and everything like that. They are trekking in snow for the next 2 weeks and refrigerating it. They are making snow inside the Rose Bowl. And this, Julie, is at a time when California, maybe you've heard, is in an extreme drought. Okay.
Wow.
How
did that happen? Why did they just go somewhere cold?
Why don't they go to the Patriots Stadium in Foxborough? 90 times, Sean White, you could have filled the stadium. And I keep getting, they're trying to drum up public support. This has been quite controversial here for many reasons, but mainly because, like, you know, Pasadena is filled with serious gardeners, beautiful gardens. And we have been cut down to 1 day a week of watering. You know, that's
it. How did he get to have all this snow?
We cannot figure it out. It was the talk of the town at various meetings. And we have a mayoral race happening right now with 6 candidates. And they get asked the question at you know, Q&As. How come Sean White is making snow in the Rose Bowl? So, Massachusetts, send us your snow. If there's any way you can put it on a train and send it over, we can take it in Pasadena.
Isn't that Leanne, I think Shaun White, you know, because a lot of celebrities, when there are natural disasters or, you know, situations, they go to places and they lend their support and they try to buck people up as they're coping with really difficult situations. You have all the schools closed, you have all that snow. I guess Shaun should just take his whole operation to Boston.
I know.
And cheer up the good people from Massachusetts. That's what I think.
It's the craziest event. I mean, I remember like 10 years ago, they did motocross in the Rose Bowl and they were at dump trucks full of dirt for weeks. I know it sounds crazy, but like there was so many dump trucks of dirt, they had to repave the roads. Like, that's how many dump trucks of dirt it takes to fill the Rose Bowl.
Leanne, so imagine the snow. I'm so glad that you are protecting the Rose Bowl. I think, you know, you've taken that on. It's in your neighborhood.
Yes.
And nothing is going to happen to that Rose Bowl because Leanne Dolan is on duty, right?
I like Shaun White.
Got your binoculars. You are like walking around there, yeah, checking it out. Keep up the good
work. I'm on patrol, Joel. Every day, I'm on patrol.
That's good. Leanne, I have kind of a sadder story, sad, happy life story. You know, it's from one of our satellite sisters. It happens to be my sister-in-law, Carrie, who lives in Denver, and she is the principal caregiver for my father-in-law, for her father,
okay,
who is in hospice. Okay. And she has, you know, she has two children, she has a job, and she just makes it happen. She is over there every day making sure that my father-in-law is comfortable and that he makes it to all his medical appointments. He's in hospice now, and she, you know, just takes great care of him. And one of the things that she has had to do is that they had, my father-in-law had a golden retriever, Daffy, who, quite
which
frankly,
which is a really cute name for a dog.
Well, she is pretty Daffy. Okay.
Yeah.
But because as he got sicker and sicker, he just could not take care of the dog. He couldn't walk he couldn't always walk the dogs. So Carrie, the dog lover, She has taken on Daffy. So Daffy now lives with Carrie. And so she walks, she takes care of the dog, she takes care of her father-in-law. And she called me up with the very sad news that the dog, Daffy, now has cancer.
Oh,
so her father
no.
is dying of cancer, and now the dog has bone cancer. And she is faced with a very difficult decision about what to do. First of all, she doesn't know whether to tell her father, because,
right,
you know, it's really sad.
And, it's sad,
you know,
yeah.
It is. And as you know, Leanne, having just lost a dog and, you know, the emotional toll of losing your dog is a lot. So, and she went to the vet to see what the options were. And the options are, you know, they range from just sort of palliative care, where bone cancer in dogs, I guess, is very painful. And
yeah,
so they give them some kind of pain relief. But her life expectancy is very short. She does have the option to do some chemotherapy. But again, there's no guarantee about really extending the life expectancy of Daffy. And then the third option is to amputate the dog's leg where the cancer is. And
oh, wow.
I know that, which is, so it's really a dilemma for Carrie,
right,
who's taking care of her father and now is looking at this dog who's very sick. And so she did a very smart thing, because her father's in hospice. She asked the hospice,
yeah,
people, what should she do? And we've talked about it here on our podcast about the tremendous work that hospice care people do. Just, they're so wise in terms of the things that they, you know, that they help you with, and you know, the conversations you have with them. And her hospice nurse said that, you know, one of the things that she's observed in people that are dying is that they really hate the fact that they're losing control of things, that everybody else is making their decisions about their care, or, you know, when they eat, when they get their medication. And so the nurse recommended to my sister-in-law, Carrie, like, whatever decision you make about the dog, involve your father. It will,
right,
be a very, you know, important thing for him to do. So So I think Carrie felt like that was the way to go. And that's, you know, she plans to have that conversation with them. But, you know, she was, and she spent like, I don't know, 5 hours at the vet yesterday going over all the options and looking at the x-rays. And don't you know, as they were going through the x-rays and looking at the heart and the lungs and the, you know, where the cancer is, they also noticed that this Daffy golden retriever named Daffy had also swallowed a very large rock. Did your dog, did your dog ever eat rocks?
Please? No, because no. No, I will. Listen. I will hold my reserve my judgment on golden retrievers.
Okay. Again, her name is Daffy.
Yeah. And they are nice, very big, beautiful, friendly dogs.
Smooth, big, smooth rock. Yes. That is way too big. Daffy is never going to pass this. So in addition to having to make a decision about, you know, what to do with Daffy, they also had to perform some kind of rockectomy yesterday where not, they didn't have to open her up, but they had to put a scope down in her stomach to get,
this
giant rock out. So I'm just a shout out to a satellite sister. Yeah. I know there are a lot of people out there like Carrie that are like caring for a lot of human beings.
Yes.
And animals and things. And it's never easy. And, you know, just, we really appreciate all that you're doing. And so the good news is, the rock is out of Daffy's stomach. I know you have to laugh.
You absolutely have to laugh. This is the, when I knew that Mia had, cancer in the last year of her life, the doctors couldn't pinpoint it, but there were certainly a lot of signs and symptoms. So it probably was like a bone cancer and stuff. I just decided I was going to make the last few months of her life awesome. Like, yeah. If she wanted to eat pizza, I had never let her eat people food. I took her on walks. I was so super nice to her. And, you know, she rewarded me with some goofy, fun stories. So there you have it. So it's like Daffy and the Rock, you know, okay. that will be fondly remembered someday.
Right.
Fondly remembered.
So a shout out to Carrie.
Yes.
Today, you know, you've got some big decisions, but I think, you know, you and my father-in-law are going to make the right one for dear old Daffy.
Yeah.
So pass that on. Hey, Leon, we're going to like switch gears.
Yeah.
But I, you know, one of the reasons that I look at the website BuzzFeed is because they have so many pictures of dogs on it. That's why I started going to that website.
Genius, BuzzFeed.
I read that they're going to interview the president of the United States. Okay, they started with like cute puppy pictures, and now they're going to get to talk to President Obama. Okay, way to go. Okay, so we just need more dogs on Satellite Sisters, Leon. I think that's the answer there. But I saw a big story. It just caught my eye. It's 53 lessons, and that's the thing about BuzzFeed. They always have odd numbers. You know, it has less words than either Us Magazine or People Magazine. It's just pictures. That's what's good about it. 53 lessons you can learn from watching too much HGTV. Now, Lee and I know you love HGTV.
Okay. I do. You know, I just go through huge phases where I get completely sucked into all things. And then I have to stop because then I have like house envy and I have to move on. But now I'm back. I'm back watching it again.
Okay, well, Leon, then you can appreciate this. We're not going to go through all 53 lessons. You can look at that. But I knew you would like this lesson. Countertops can be made in only two materials, granite or marble, right? Is that true?
I mean, apparently, according to HGTV, yes. I actually like other materials for countertops. But I'm surprised how many people insist on granite. People I know have probably never cooked. So.
Yes. Well, that makes no difference, Lee.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if they're looking at a house that costs $100,000 or $2 million.
Yes.
Everybody wants the granite or the marble countertops.
Sometimes the granite is so ugly in the kitchens. And they're like, oh, granite. I'm like, that is the ugliest granite I have ever seen.
Okay. All right. Here's another one, Lee. Literally every time two people attempt to gather, groom over one sink, the world threatens to implode. Okay? Is that right? You've got to have the double vanity sinks, Lane, right? We
it's
know
true.
This.
It's
this
true.
Is a lesson. Don't even look at a bathroom that only has one, because you couldn't two people could not possibly brush their teeth using one sink, right? Okay, how about this? Carpet is the devil.
Right. I wish it had hardwood floors. Really? Because carpet is so warm. And
I like carpets.
I like carpet. I'm getting new carpet next week.
Really? I just love carpet.
Upstairs.
I like it.
Yeah.
I think it's very comfortable.
Yeah.
No, you have to have hardwood floors. Yeah. And those hardwood floors, what do they have to do, Leanne? They have to flow.
Flow.
That's another lesson. You have to have flowing hardwoods. Okay. You have hardwoods in your house.
I do on the bottom floor, and they flow. But upstairs in my bedroom, after 15 years, now that the dog is gone and the kids no longer play touch football up here, we're going to replace the carpet. So,
okay, well, it's kind of a mistake there, Lane.
I don't care. I like it.
Carpet is the devil. Remember that. Okay, next lesson. No one in the world is able to monitor their children successfully without an open concept floor plan. Now, this one just made me laugh because we grew up, we were, you know, 8 children. We grew up in Connecticut in an old house, and all the kids were either outside, totally unsupervised, or else we were in the cellar. Okay. It was not a finished basement. Right? We were in this old New England house cellar with a giant furnace, Leanne, that was on, okay? There was no open floor plan concept in our house growing up. And I don't know, we're all alive. I don't know how it happened. So I like that one. But that's a lesson, and that's what everybody wants. And quite frankly, that's what I want now, Leanne, an open floor plan concept,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't know. How about the party showers, Leanne? Can we talk about that? Do you have one in your house? And you know, it doesn't matter. All those couples, right? They all want the party shower. And then I hate to think, like, what are you all doing in there?
Okay. I don't know.
Okay.
And my neighbors put in one of those giant party showers, and then they discovered they really didn't have the water pressure to support it. So the shower heads just like dripped water. It was complete disaster. Okay. And they spent a fortune on it.
I know. It's just too much HGTV. Okay. Again, every house has to have a home office, a guest room, and there is no island that can be large enough. Yeah. Right?
That's true. That's true.
Oh, well, it's a good list. Okay. Check it out. There are 53 lessons you can learn from there. And, you know, if you can identify with all of them, you probably are watching too much HGTV.
Sometimes I just have to switch over to say yes to the dress to get away from the HGTV for a while.
Yeah.
And then I get depressed about that. And then I go back to HGTV. I feel so sorry for the brides on that show. The mothers are so mean to them, or like their sisters or their friends. The brides, there are no bridezillas. There are just these poor brides that people pick on.
People That's are, not right, Lynn.
And the people are so nice who run the bridal shops. They're really trying to make the bride happy.
I think that could be a very happy business. Okay, Lynn.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about Harper Lee. Okay, so last week, just as it was breaking news as we went on the air, that Harper Lee was publishing a second book. It was actually the first book she had written. It was a book that featured the adult Scout as a lawyer. And her editor had liked the flashbacks of the character Scout so much. She said, why don't you go try again and, you know, portray Scout as a young girl, hence To Kill a Mockingbird. But in the meantime, apparently, the very private, like crazy private Harper Lee had just stuck this book, Go Set a Watchman, somewhere. Okay. Somewhere. And now 60 years later, it's about to come out. And last week on the show, you were excited, you wanted to read it.
Yes.
I was very cautious. I thought it seemed a little odd. I thought it seemed risky on Harper Lee's account. When
yes,
I found
that's
out,
right, Leanne. You weren't as enthusiastic. I thought you were going to be rushing out, you know, signing up, but no, you were, You were skeptical.
I was, yeah, it was just, I just thought, wow, that is not something I would have imagined. She's been so private for so many years and really just had the one masterpiece and kind of stuck with that as her writing story, which is fine. And when your book has sold, you know, crazy amount of copies like To Kill a Mockingbird has. Okay, so Julie, over the course of the week, there have been quite a few people concerned about Harper Lee, people close to her. She is at advanced age now. She's like 86 or 87. She lives in 88. She lives in a nursing home. Mm-hmm. She is deaf and blind, although it appears she can hear like with, if she wants to, like with her hearing aid turned on, but she often tunes it out. Because I heard a fascinating interview on NPR last week mm-hmm. with an old friend of hers who visits her once a month, drives to the nursing home. You know, he has no stake in the game. He's not a lawyer or an agent or anything. And he said, you know, sometimes she can hear, sometimes she can't. He said she's absolutely of sound mind to make this decision, but mm-hmm. he had just seen her the day before the news came out last Monday, and she hadn't mentioned anything about the book coming out at all. And then they brought up a couple of questions like her sister was her longtime lawyer, okay, which is pretty good. Cool when you think about it. That
I would like one of us to, you know.
I know. It's a shame we never went to law school, isn't it?
I know. Liz pretends to be our attorney. You know, she plays that role. She reads all the contracts, signs them for us. But she's really not a lawyer.
No. So, oh, my parents were right. One of us should have gone to law school. But I thought, well, her sister's been a lawyer for a long, like was her lawyer for 60 years. So her sister mm-hmm. must have also been kind of an extraordinary character too, to have been a woman to go to law school that many years ago. And, you know, protected her against everything. And so her sister died like a year ago. And so this timing of this book suddenly appearing, people did not even know this book existed, Julie. This wasn't like a rumored novel. This was like a novel that was actually hidden away off site, off her property. And her new lawyer claims that she found it in her old lawyer, her sister's paperwork. So I don't
know.
That's
possible. I mean, that
it's possible, but it's all, yes, it's possible that that's where she found it.
Do you think that she didn't write this book?
No, I think she wrote it. I think she doesn't really want it to come out.
Oh.
You know? And now, you know, why would you, almost no writer wants their first novel to come out. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Your first anything to come out.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Yeah, this timing, now that you sort of set this out, I was just so excited to read another book by Harper Lee.
Right.
But the timing does sound a little odd she would.
Yeah, and you hate to think of an older person getting taken advantage of in some way.
I know, but again, it's the end of her life, and maybe this is really what she wants to do.
All right,
Julie. Okay? It could be that. Maybe she's if she's of sound mind, maybe she's made this decision. Like, okay, it's time. You know, a lot of people at the end of their lives, they want to sort of reconcile things. They want to put things to rest. They want to sort of clear the decks. And maybe this has been weighing heavily on her mind that she had this other manuscript.
Okay, well, we will see. So to me, it's an interesting sister story that once her sister Alice died, that she was sort of vulnerable. So we will keep watching it. We will keep watching it.
All right, Leanne. Well, now we're coming to the part in the show. That's the Tuesday trends, which, you know, because it's Tuesday, Leanne. And it's interesting that you know, we're talking about Harper Lee and the new book, because one of the trends that I have that sort of, you know, piqued my interest is a new literary website, Leanne. This is a site. It's called Literary Hub. The web address is going to be lithub.com, lithub.com.
Mm-hmm.
And it's launching April 8th, Leanne. And this is being put together by a large group of publishers because they feel like there's nowhere, despite the fact that, you know, so many people are interested in books and read books, and that there's no sort of, you know, no site has emerged where you can have a lot of discussion about books, fiction, nonfiction. They want it to kind of be the Huffington Post for books.
Okay.
I suggest BuzzFeed for books, you know, but but maybe that's not the space they're going for.
I don't know. Why not? Why would you not? Why would you not copy BuzzFeed?
I just
I don't know.
Oh, we shouldn't have given away that idea, Liam. That is really our idea. Write that down, Liam.
Okay.
We can call it Buzz Books. Book Buzz.
Book Buzz. I like it.
bookbuzz.com. Okay, there we go. But I thought this was very interesting. So that Grove Atlantic is going to be the principal publisher, but they've gotten a lot of publishers together that are going to be putting up offerings, that are going to put up, you know, essays, and that this, you know, they're really trying to create one aggregate site for people who love books.
Okay. Well, that's not, I mean, I can see why. I mean, as newspapers shut down, most newspapers don't review books anymore. It's right. Something that's really just disappeared as newspapers have lost more money and more money. There are very few major newspapers that do articles on books or book reviews. And it is hard. It's just hard to, it's hard to get any publicity for your book. There's Goodreads, but that's a reader driven site. So this sounds like this is going to be a publisher and author driven site. It's a good idea. Lithub.com. All right.
Okay. Lithub.com, but it doesn't launch until April 8th. Okay. But it's a Trendlion. So,
all right.
And if that fails, we can come right in with our bookbuzz.com.
Okay.
Second Tuesday trend. And I love this idea, Liam. You know, we've moved around a lot. We have bought and sold a lot of houses. And I just surprised why this has really not caught on. But the, here's the idea, Liam. You get to test drive the property before you buy the house. Hmm. You get to actually go live in the house that you want to buy. Okay. Now, this has happened, you know, they have it at like, if you're buying a resort home, sometimes you can go stay at the resort and kind of get the feel of it. Or occasionally at a condominium or an apartment building, you know, they'll let you come and spend the night there or meet with the neighbors. You know, but I think it's a great idea. You can do it like a trial run, like how long does it take you to get groceries or go to a, you know, an owner's party or something like that. But they're trying to sort of spread this out for individual properties. So you put your house on the market, and as part of the marketing plan, you also allow people to come and stay in your house overnight to see if, you know, to see if they want to buy it.
What is ridiculous? It's ridiculous.
Ridiculous?
Yes.
Well, Leon, you just think about it, like how much time you spend at the grocery store or how much time
you spend. Well, you don't need to spend the night to drive to the grocery store and figure some of that stuff out. It just seems like it puts a lot of burden on the sellers.
I know, but as a buyer.
And then you have weird people in your house and you got to get all the stuff that matters out. It seems like you could be scammed. It seems like the house would be off the market for that 24 hours while they're in the house. I got to say, I don't think this sounds like a good idea.
Well, it's not a good idea for the seller, but for the buyer, wouldn't you want to be able to do that, to like actually stay in the house overnight to see how much like maybe traffic noise there was at night, to see what, you know, it really looks like or feels like staying in it at night? You don't think so?
No, I don't. I don't think so.
Well, you've never moved, Leon, so you don't know. But I mean, like, you go into these houses.
I've moved a couple of times.
But not much.
Not recently. We have been in this house for 17 years. Okay. But that doesn't mean I haven't walked through a million houses, because my husband's in real estate. So I've literally walked through a million houses.
I know.
And, you know, there are other ways. He's always saying people are too emotional about houses, and it's an investment and it's real estate, and you should be able to figure stuff out by walking through. I just think it puts a lot of burden on the seller. What a pain in the neck to have all these strangers in your house.
All right. Yes, I would agree with that. Okay. I certainly wouldn't want that. But if I was buying a house, yes, I would like to spend more than 30 minutes walking through the house. You know, I mean, you don't really know what you're buying until you actually own it, you know, until they give you the keys.
Yeah, I'm not sure a night in staying there is going to tell you whether the plumbing system is outdated.
I know, but you might figure out, hey, there's a lot of noise. There's a lot of, you know, the neighbors are crazy.
Okay.
Or, you know,
all right. Okay. I think this is a split decision for me. I feel for the sellers. That's like this is verging on the sharing economy, the Airbnb. I'm not interested in that either. So I just
okay. Well, we like your opinion.
Come back a couple of times, but you don't need to spend the night. I mean,
what if it's a house that features all this high tech, you know, green features, you know, and you just, you know, you want to really see, does the computer screen go up and down? Does do the window shades really work? Can you set the heat, you know, or the cooling systems from different rooms? And
If you can't figure out the cooling systems, you should not buy a house there.
I know, but Lane, you actually don't get to do that until you get to the house inspection. And by then, you're way down the path to selling the house.
We have very different. I think this is not.
You've already committed money. You don't get to inspect the house until you've committed money.
Spending the night is not inspecting the house. Those are two different things. I mean,
but you can pick up a lot. Like, does it work or not?
Okay. I think we just have two different opinions on this.
Yes, we do. You're the seller and I'm the buyer.
Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, we love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life, aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
No kidding. I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils, I love it all. That duo they have going. Oh. Like, you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the mega moisture duo.
Yes.
You can literally see your skin get firmer, and it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know we have raved about the Undaria algae body oil. Mm-hmm. Well, pair that with the Undaria collagen body oil. Youthful, yeah. Liz. Your youthful glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undaria seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SADSISTERS. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Osea is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea. Liz, summer is coming up, and you know what that means? It means you're grilling. You're grilling and chilling there with your butcher box. What do you got going on the grill this summer?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Because I'm going to be up in Bend for a part of the summer, I'm having my box sent there, Leanne.
That's great.
Go on vacation with your butcher box is what I'm recommending. Yeah, either way, you're just going to buy meat and fish and stuff when you get there. Why do that? Anyway, I love their steaks. I love their scallops. The scallops are really good. And the chicken thighs, all good. I'm ready.
That's right. Butcher Box gives you peace of mind and easy to find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. No antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. And you can customize that delivery plan, Liz, right? Because it can go wherever you want it to go, whenever you want it to go. If you want to delay it a week, you know, speed it up a week, you just go to your ButcherBox account and you can make that all happen.
It's so easy to manage online.
Yeah. And if you're like Liz, you can take your ButcherBox on vacation, which is... That's nice. Nice to have something familiar there.
Yes.
So if you want to take your meat on vacation, sign up at butcherbox.com/sisters and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. So you can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to choose your free-for-a-year offer, plus get $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox.
It's a great idea for buyers. I think, why not? Okay. All right. Third Tuesday trend, Leanne. You know what this weekend is. Okay. Yes, it's Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day.
You know what else it is?
Yeah.
It's will be the premiere, the opening of 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah.
Now, did you ever read the book?
I did read the book. I read, I tried to read the book. I read the first one when it started to kind of hit the bestseller list, because I'm a writer in that, the women's fiction genre. Yeah. And I wanted to see what all the hoopla was about. And I found it so poorly written, I could not get through it. I just started, it's unreadable. It's unreadable. I mean, the sentence structure, everything about it, the dialogue is inane, everything about it, it's literally unreadable. Like if you turned in the first chapter in your writer's group, you would not return because it would just be excoriated. So it's terrible writing. And so I couldn't really get, I flipped through the end of it just because, again, as a, someone who does this for a living, I just wanted to see what it was all about. It was unreadable. So...
Okay.
Do I seem cranky today? No, I've said that before on the show. I said, when it first came out, I thought, well, I'll go test the waters. I'll pick it up. Sure. This is what I do. And it's on the bestseller list. No, it's fan fiction.
So it didn't make your heart race. There was no palpitations.
No, the main character is like, oh God, so weak and just so, oh gosh, just so unlikable. And the dialogue is painful.
Okay.
Painfully stupid. And there was all sorts of issues with location and timing. It's set in like Portland and Seattle, and having lived in that area before, like they go back and forth from Portland to Seattle, like it's like a half an hour away, but it's, it's a 3.5 hour drive. So there was a lot of stuff like that that just made me crazy, So I couldn't get through it. And
so
then I found this, the sex scenes disturbing. It's, again, because the main character was so young and so poorly realized that I just thought, oh, this is going to drive me crazy. So I've seen the previews for the movie and I've, the actress is already driving me crazy in the previews. So I am not going.
So- You're not going.
No. Okay. But all I right. like that actor, Jamie Dornan, has been on that creepy British detective show, mm-hmm. The Fall, and he's really creepy on that show. And it could only be better than the book because the book was so bad. That's what I mean, really, it can't be any worse than the book because the book was horrible. So.
Do you think I didn't read the book because everybody said the book is horrible.
It's terrible.
I think you said it.
Yeah.
I really wasn't that interested in it.
Yeah.
It seemed dumb. So,
it's dumb. Yes, it is dumb.
So yeah. But do you think the movie's going to be a hit? Do you think?
Well,
it's
here's what I read. I said, oh yes, the movie will be a hit. I mean, the book sold a zillion copies, and there are people that really read all of them, read them many times. So yes, they'll go. I think it's been marketed really well. It looks like a very slick production. He sort of looks like the guy in the book. So, and again, it couldn't be any worse than the book. It could only be better. But I'm telling
okay,
you.
Okay, well, we'll need a report. We'll need someone that has read the book and ventures to the movies. We want the report because we're not going to be reviewing 50 Shades.
I'm sure people will go. Here's what I did read, though. I read it's a 3-hour movie, but it only has 20 minutes of sex scenes. So that's...
Oh, my gosh. 3 hours?
Yeah.
So it's a long movie.
Yeah, it's a long movie. And if, that's what I mean, like... I hope they improved the dialogue from the book because otherwise, I mean, there were things in the book. I just laughed out loud. Oh, wow. Anyway, there you go. So, but it's certainly being promoted a lot and, it's getting a lot of mainstream attention and things like that. So I think people will go. So, and again,
all right. Well,
there you have
it. Have a good time.
Yeah. I'll be at the State Robotics Championship, Julie. So I won't be... I won't be 50 Shades on Valentine's Day.
Well, that sounds like a super romantic place to be, Lynn. I know it will be good. Well, Lynn, I had kind of a doubleheader on Sunday because it was sort of a Lord Grantham doubleheader because I think I had to leave the podcast early because I went to my granddaughter Alice's 8th birthday party, and they went to see the movie Paddington Bear. Have you heard about the movie Paddington
Bear?
Yes,
it got good reviews, and it looks adorable.
Leanne, do not be shy. Do not. If you find yourself on a plane, or if you're homesick, or if you're snowed in, if you have an opportunity to see Paddington Bear, you have to go see it. Okay.
It's a good cast. It's a really good cast.
Okay. Well, first of all, you've got Lord Grantham. Yeah. Hugh Bonneville. He plays sort of Lord Grantham light in this movie. Okay. So he has the same imperious manner. He's got a sort of a goofy wife, but she seems to be more alert and more with it than her ladyship. Okay. They have a smaller house, but it's still somewhat, you know, it looks like it's on a decent street in London. He only has one servant, but she seems to do everything. And the two children are far more appealing than Lady Edith or Lady Mary. Okay. So, but he's in the movie. He's doing his best. But Leon, it just works on many levels. So your, you know, 8-year-old child is going to love the movie, but you are going to love the movie too. And I'll tell you, I think there should be a special Oscar awarded for the bear's fur. Leon, the fur in this movie is, it's like its own character. You just want to hug this bear. Aww. It is so imaginative, the storytelling, visually how they lay out the story. And then it's kind of like really funny on an adult level too, because Nicole Kidman plays the bad guy in the movie.
Oh.
But in, yes, so she's the bad guy. But in one scene, she actually reenacts her ex-husband, Tom Cruise's Mission Impossible scene where she's lowered on a wire into a room. That was really hilarious. I mean, the kids didn't get that, but yeah. You know, I was like laughing, like, that is so funny that they did that in the movie. So it's totally enjoyable. It's got a wonderful message. It's very uplifting. And it's not 3 hours, Leon. So I would say this Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
I would like skip 50 Shades of Grey, go see Paddington Bear. I mean, it really was super well done. So that's
all right.
And Lord Grantham, he was very likable in this movie.
Not cranky.
Not well. Yes, he's cranky in the beginning. Yeah. It's just the same. It's like a smaller house, but with a slightly more with it wife. Yeah.
All right, we're going to go to Downton Abbey right next. Julie, though, I did want to mention two events I'm doing this spring.
Okay.
So I haven't done any mention of these. I don't even think I put them up on my official calendar, but I got to get on it. One date just got confirmed yesterday. In the middle of April, April 12th, Sunday, April 12th, I am actually speaking at our hometown library, the Pequot Library.
No way.
Really? Yeah. Yeah.
April 12th. I'm going to write that down, Lee.
It's Sunday, April 12th. If you're anywhere in the tri-state area. No, I'll be at Southport, Connecticut at the Pequot Library, the beautiful
exit
library.
Exit 19.
Exit 19.
Off 95.
That's right.
Okay.
And I will be there speaking. I was invited to speak quite a while ago and we wrestled around with some dates and things like that. And this is the one we landed on. So I will be there Sunday, April 12th, Pequot Library, Southport, Connecticut. And then if you are in Southern California, I'm very excited about an event I'm doing at the Huntington Gardens
and Library.
That's your
favorite place, Leon. You've been invited there a couple of times.
Yes,
right?
And this is exciting because they have a new woman taking over as the head of the Huntington, Laura Scandera Trombley. She is a dynamic female leader. She ran Pitzer College for 10 years and is now moving over to the Huntington Library and Gardens, which is quite a plum job, actually. And so I am going to be interviewing her. She will have just taken over as the president. They have a brand new event space there. They've redesigned the entrance and everything. So we'll be one of the first events they do. And this is through Pasadena Magazine. So that is April 29th. So I will put more information on both those events as I have it up on the website, on the Facebook page and stuff. But I just want to throw those dates out there.
Liz know that you're interviewing the head of the Huntington Library?
I don't.
That seems like her role.
I know. I know.
Way to go, Leon.
Well, okay. I'm kind of psyched because it was, I write a column for the Pasadena Magazine and they were looking, last year I interviewed all the female philanthropists for this event, like women that ran foundations and started foundations. And it was really a fascinating panel discussion. So we were looking for some other business topic, and they had just named this Laura Twombly as the head of the Huntington. But I have, because I went to one of the Claremont Colleges, Pomona, I had heard her speak several times, and she's super dynamic. And I just thought, wow, that would be a great interview. And I think people in town would love to sort of be the first to hear from her. And so I'm very excited that she said, yes, I'm going over to the Huntington in 2 days to meet her and do an interview with her. And I'll write a profile of her for the magazine. But then we'll have this luncheon conversation in April. So I'm looking forward to both of those. Yeah. And then that's it. I'm not doing anything else in the spring, not really doing anything till the fall. So that's why I mentioned that. But Pequot Library, I'll be there.
Liam.
Hey, it's Liz and Leanne here, and we want to thank PROS for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz. My hair from PROS is getting rave reviews.
Leanne, I am not surprised. You have been on that PROS hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, PROS is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Leanne Dolan? Yes, I do. I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, PROS, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Leanne's. Okay? And I'm using it. PROS isn't just better for you. It's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon neutral custom beauty brand. So PROS, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Leanne and then post it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, PROS. PROS is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin. They're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And PROS is spelled P-R-O-S-E. pros.com/sisters. Thanks, PROS. Liz, you know we love talking about Framebridge, don't we?
We do. because there are just so many fun things to frame, Leanne, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting Framebridge experience. Would you like to share?
I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing to get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah, any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leanne, they have already Framebridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the Framebridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame, and Framebridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but Framebridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds
like... But you are going to be happy, okay? Yeah. That's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be out. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or see a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's framebridge.com. Thanks, Framebridge.
I'm a little bit jealous that you're going to the Pequot Library. We spend many hours.
It was, you know who invited me? Ginny Arndt, Mrs. Arndt, our mom's dear friend. So
that's very nice.
Ginny is 85 years old. She runs the speaker series there. And honestly, so this is, I've been communicating with Mrs. Arndt.
Okay. Sounds wonderful.
Okay. All right. It's time now for Downton Abbey. This week's episode was, whoo, chock full.
And yes, Julie, indeed.
Julie, breaks down for me like this. There were winners this week and there were losers. All right.
Okay. Let me hear your list, Lynn.
Okay. I'm just going to go through my list of losers first. All right. Lord Gillingham, loser. I mean, he is just being set up by his friends. What is happening with that?
I don't know what happened to him because he was so dashing and with it. And now he's like lame.
He's lame. He's a loser, Julie. All right. Another loser, Anna. She is stuck with that Bates for the rest of her life.
I know, Leanne. I'm surprised she's alive at the end of this episode. And we'll get into that.
We'll get into it.
That curled lip came back. Okay. Yeah.
So all right. The pig man's wife, Mrs. Drew, a big loser this week. Oh, very sweet. Yeah. She had her the baby taken away from her. Gosh. Like she was just some, you know, foster mother, which I guess she was. So that was a very emotional scene. We'll talk about that. And really the biggest loser of the week, Isis. What's happening with the dog? Like that is not a good situation.
I know. Leanne, can you believe, because just last week, didn't we do a shout out to the
dog?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. That he was getting a lot of screen time. So things look grim for him. But then the winners this week, I think Rose is a winner. That seems like a nice young man, Atticus.
And, I think people are just going to, they're going to go with it. He looks nice. I don't know, Leanne, but things are never as they seem to be at Downton Abbey. Yeah. It starts off good and then Who knows?
Okay. Mrs. Patmore, winner. Like she has an exit strategy there. She's got that cottage. I feel better for her already. You know,
I'm a little bit jealous of the cottage. Yeah. And I bet she'd like to spend the night in the cottage, Leanne, before she buys it.
She didn't need to. She bought it. She saw the potential. She knows what she wants. All right. Big winner this week for me, the Dowager Countess. She had some fantastic lines. So some great lines, sort of a moment of personal recollection when she was talking to the prince. So it was a good show for her. But really the winner of the week was Edith. I mean, Edith, she may have lost the fake Nazi boyfriend / lover, but she inherited a publishing company and she got her baby back. So winner, Edith, finally a winner. Finally a winner. Yeah, I do. I think she's going to be like the Helen Gurley Brown of, you know, she's got of Cosmo fame. She's got the publishing company now. She's the single mom. She's got Marigold. She's in the hotel room drinking champagne and eating ice cream. She is free of that whole Downer Abbey situation. She's free. She is free. She's free as a bird. All right. What'd you think? Where do we start?
I loved this episode as well, Leanne. I really felt like, you know, the storylines really advanced on a lot of things. I started with the inanimate objects or things that appeared to be dead. And one was the dog. I have to say, I couldn't believe it that we had just talked about the dog. And there was her ladyship throwing herself on the oriental carpet to determine if the dog was, you know, was alive, was listless. But did you notice she didn't really touch the dog?
No.
I mean, what is that about? Like, she's like crouched down, but she wouldn't even put her hand on the dog. Okay. Mary, so caring. Okay. What did she say? So empathetic that he had eaten a squirrel or perhaps was pregnant. Way to go, Mary. We just love your humanity. Okay.
She is. She gets colder every week. And yet I love her. I love her.
Okay. Second object, that history book.
Oh,
Mosley. Say it ain't so, Leanne. Is Mosley making the moves on Daisy? Do you think that could be it?
I don't know where that's going. There's going to be something horrible hidden in there, or there's going to be a will, or I don't know, maybe the ticket from Mr. Bates's coat is stuck in there. I don't know, Joyce.
I don't know, but I don't want Mosley to get anywhere near Daisy. We love Daisy, right?
And
she's trying so hard and she's doing keeping up with her reading and making those lovely cakes. So I don't know what's in that history book. It did make me chuckle, Leanne. I wondered if it was first edition. Yeah. We had the big discussion there. Okay, speaking of other books, of course, The Device and the Book.
Yeah.
Of course Bates was going to find that in the cottage. It was only a matter of time, okay? And there he had the book, and that was back. Again, it's not really an inanimate object, but that curled lip.
Yeah.
I don't believe that he was innocent. I really don't. And I really thought Anna was going to get it in the cottage this week.
I did too.
I thought he was going to whack her with a poker or something like that. Okay.
Yeah. I don't trust him anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't been that interested in him since like season one, but now I just am tired of his, I'm tired of his downerness. He's just a downer all the time.
Yeah. Okay. So he is no good. Okay. Prince Kerrigan's teacup. Okay, yes. Leanne, that was an excellent scene. And it brought me right back to Russia. Because I have to say, I had been offered many times when I lived in Moscow for 5 years, I was offered a number of very suspicious looking cups of tea because they like to drink tea. Okay, and I was always very worried about it. I used to say a little prayer to myself, like, oh please, I hope this tea does not kill me. But, you know, I always took great solace in the fact that tea is made with boiling water. Okay. No. So just from a sanitation point of view, if you're going to find yourself in a foreign country, you're a little worried about what to eat or to drink or not to eat. I always think tea is not a bad item. Because if you can see that the water has come to a full boil, but right.
Okay. No, but I hadn't really thought about it that deeply, but yeah.
Yes, good thinking. I have thought about it. So when I saw that teacup, I was like, yeah. So I understand why the Dowager did not want to take a sip out of that. You know, I can't, but you know, the hot boiling water, seeing the bubbles, that's all good, Leanne. Okay. Next inanimate object. What about Mary's haircut? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Find it superb. What did you think, Leanne?
You know, I was bothered by like the notch in the back of her neck. Like I didn't understand why it wasn't a clean blunt cut, but maybe that was the style at the time.
Yeah, just, that was like Vidal Sassoon. That was done in the 70s.
I know.
That's the way he used to cut the hair with that like thing in the back. It was, I don't know, Leanne, but But what did you think? She looked completely different with it.
She did look completely different, and she looked completely great. And again, I admire Mary because I believe she represents her class and the women of the time. She's a snob. She's competitive, and she doesn't make any bones about it. I thought she looked great. Again, unbelievable clothes on Mary this time. Ooh. There she was riding that horse side saddle, like jumping that jump. Come on, Mary, get a stride. Just ride a stride. I think that's the final frontier for Mary. Yes, I liked the
haircut.
Didn't
you think someone was going to go into the hedge?
Yes.
I don't know how. I was really on the edge of my seat throughout that steeplechase, Leanne. I hate to admit it because I thought somebody is going into the hedge.
Well, let's face it, in any British drama, anytime someone gets in a horse, it's bad. It's bad, right? Yeah. Somebody usually does fall off the horse and die or get trampled or something. Yeah. So that's, I really was surprised they all made it out alive.
Okay. So, Leanne, it was a big week for toast. On Downton Abbey.
Yes.
Did you notice at that breakfast scene how much toast there was? And what about Lady Cora? Did you see she got a whole rack of toast up in bed? I just was like, yay for toast. It was just a big week for that.
Mm-hmm.
Other inanimate object I'd love to hear about was the gong. What was that about? When we had to go ring the gong because Lady Edith was missing?
Yeah.
Where is that gong?
I don't know. We've never heard the gong, but they refer to the gong all the time. As there's the gong, let's go ring the gong. I think that had some 50 Shades overtones when Mrs. Patmore said, go ring your, or Mrs. Hughes said, go ring your gong. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Woo. Well, yeah. I don't know about that.
I think she and Carson will end up together. It's Shades of Remains of the Day. Remember that wonderful movie?
Yes.
So
I think it would be totally appropriate for both of them. Okay. Totally inappropriate. Sort of inanimate object as Thomas's butt. Did we really have to see that? Eek. That whole storyline is to me, you know?
And again, he keeps having these like life-changing experiences, like going to war and, you know, second lease on life and this, you know, coming out and everything. And yet he still goes back to being the same scheming, unpleasant character. So from a writer's standpoint, I don't understand what they're doing with that character. He has no arc. He's been through all these things and he has not changed one bit. So yeah, that scene, just all of it, I was like, I almost fast forwarded through it because I just couldn't bear to watch it. So
the doctor you had to see it. It was important.
Yeah.
It really sort of broke new ground on Downton Abbey because we had
some flesh. We had some butt flesh.
Quite gross. Okay. How about the teeny tiny bed that Lord Grantham was in his closet room there? I love that. And I would have to say, because she was almost on my inanimate object list, is Cora. But because she doesn't touch her daughter or the dogs, but you have to give it to Cora. She did order her husband out of the teeny tiny bed and back into hers. So, Eileen, on your winners, losers list, I think Lady Cora moved up with that move. I thought it was very strong there. Okay. And of course, for me, the best line of the night was the idea that endless thinking is overrating. Yes. And before 1914, nobody thought of anything at all. Thank you. Thank you. We love that. But of course, we have to turn to the romance side of it, which is a little more lively. I don't know. What do you think about the Mabel Lane Fox versus Mary dynamic? Again, I thought they were both going to end up in the hedge. They didn't during the steeplechase. But where do you think they're going with that?
Lesbian lovers? I don't know what's going to happen between those two. They seem to be rather comfortable frenemies, you know? Okay. There was at least a lot of spark and good dialogue between those two, as opposed to Lord Gillingham, who's become a shadow of his former self.
I know. And what do you think about Mr. Blake? Do you think Mary and Mr. Blake are going to get it together there?
No. Here's my prediction. I think somehow Mary will end up with the commoner who is designing the new real estate. I think she's going to end up with the real estate developer. I think Mary's going to end up with the commoner. I don't know. Who knows? But I don't understand. Like, that seems very childish. The whole like, oh, why don't you spend the night at Downton? That whole thing seemed very beneath all of them, is what I would say.
I know. So, but they'll all be there. So that's going to be we're going to look forward to that scene, because there'll be quite a few people. And what about the Dowager and the Prince? Do you think they can rekindle some of the romance that they have found in St. Petersburg?
Let's hope not. Really? Is that what you want to see? Is that why you tune in? I think she's in the perfect role. So I don't want her to mess it up by getting all mushy. It's going to be bad enough to see Lord Merton and Isabel together, like on their wedding night. I don't need to see the Dowager do any nookie. I don't need to see them get any closer.
Okay.
Yeah. Sure. And again, the Prince, I'm not sure that's a good romance for her. He's got nothing to offer. Why would she marry him?
Tea. He's got that great tea, Liam. I don't know.
All right, go ahead.
Liam.
No, you go ahead.
Edith. Okay. I mean, do you think, I just don't even, I mean, she obviously has now been pushed over the edge, and she had that French birth certificate and she
multiple copies. Cause I went, when Mrs. Drew ripped that up, I had a very strong reaction. And then Edith did not lose a beat when she's like, I have multiple copies.
Okay. And so she's in that sort of shabby hotel. It's certainly not their place in London, and that she's going to be eating ice cream and champagne. I love it that there's just the baby has nothing. Marigold has nothing but the little teddy bear. Yeah. Okay. So good luck to her. Edith doesn't seem to have any clothing either. So I don't know how that's going to work out. But I just don't know where this is going to go.
I think it's a new lease on life for her. I think she's going to be kind of lead an interesting, dynamic European life. She's got the publishing company now. She's got the baby. She'll make up some story. I think it will be a disaster at Downton. But I think for Edith, it's good. It's no one likes her. You know, there was a lot of speculation on our Facebook page today. Well, maybe Rosamund is Edith's mother. And I know we talked about that last year on Downton Gabby. But I think actually it, probably not, because I think Cora doesn't seem to like her just because she doesn't like her, not because she's not hers. You know what I mean? I feel like we would have had some clues in the last five seasons.
Right.
There would have
right.
been some asides, or we'd know if Cora was like just, you know, raising her as her own as a favor. And that's not the case. She just doesn't seem to genuinely does not like her or care about her in any way.
Well, it goes back to her basic problem with Cora is that, you know, the mental functioning is difficult for her. So I get that. All right. Well, I hope.
Well, what do you think? What do you think?
I just think nothing good has happened to Edith. And I think she's going to continue down the road. This is really not a plan, Leanne, to go screaming down to, you know, Farmer Brown's cottage there and just snatch the baby with a French, you know, birth certificate and head on into London and everything's going to be okay. No, I mean, the gong is going to be rung, Leanne. The gong is going to be rung. Okay.
See, she got the word. She's got the money and.
People will know. They will track her down, Leanne.
No, they'll find out. But I think she's done caring. I think she is just done caring. The family's complete non-reaction to her dead, you know, boyfriend's announcement.
And was Mary, how mean is Mary to show up with her new haircut?
Yeah.
And want to make that the topic of conversation in the drawing room.
I know. How mean was Cora, who forced her to go to dinner that night? Like, really, couldn't she just have a tray in her room a couple nights? You know, does she have to get dressed up? Cora's like, thank you for coming to dinner. Oh, shut up. Okay. Shut up.
And then my final comment is I have some very bad news that at the end of Downton Abbey, they had previews for Mr.
Selfridge.
And they've now jazzed it up with jazzy music, you know, because to make it look more appealing. But I just, we will not be lured into that.
We're not moving forward with
Mr. Selfridge.
Yeah.
I know it was kind of appealing. They had some like up-tempo music going on there.
Yeah.
But no, let's not go there.
I noticed that. I watched the preview and I said to myself, I don't care about any of those characters. So we tried last year by request, but you know, we can only do this when we really care. And so we're just going to save ourselves for Outlander when it returns after Downton. But okay. Well, Julie, I'm excited. I feel like, we must be coming to the end of this season. I don't look up anything online about this show because I don't want to know what's happening. Like I know it's already been in England and things like that, but I purposely don't read any articles because I don't want to find out. I want to sort of be in the moment for every episode.
Me too, Leanne. I feel that same. So we have no idea. Please do not post that on our Facebook page, like how many more episodes are left or what happens. And I know we have listeners in Australia where it hasn't even started.
Right.
So
right.
Good luck to you. Right. Good luck to you on that. So, but yes, we'll just carry on, Leanne. That's what we're going to do.
Okay, Joel. All right. You got anything? What, do you have any plans for Valentine's Day? If it's not 50 Shades of Grey.
I've got some plans, Leanne. They're in the works. That's all I'm saying. Okay.
All right. Yeah. I my husband scared me by saying he might come home early from his European trip. And I was like, I got to start cleaning the house now. I mean, I am a slob when he is not here.
You need to get those hardwood floors flowing, Leanne. Go on.
I know. I do. What I'm worried about is when they replace the carpet, we have to clean everything out of the bedroom, you know, and our closet. So it's going to be rough. It's going to be rough. All right. I got calls coming in. I got things happening here, Jill. I got calls coming in. My phone's going nuts. All right. So have a great week.
You too, Leanne.
And don't forget, call your satellite sister.